it's not too late. You know, it doesn't matter if you're 22 or if you're 72. You know, if you feel called to start something or to grow something, then do it. And although we all have, you know, big responsibilities that are very real, very aware of, I don't want to be 100 years old and regret anything. I'd only regret it if I didn't do something. If I failed, I'm okay with that. Definitely okay with failing, always. But if I'm not doing something out of fear, I will regret that. And I know a lot of your listeners will regret not doing the thing that they feel called to do, the next step.
Welcome to the Small Business Storyteller Show, the podcast designed to learn from the successes and the failures of small businesses making an impact. My name is Seth Silvers, and after 4 years of helping small businesses learn to market with stories, I've learned that someone might be selling something similar to you, but nobody, absolutely no one, can compete with your stories. This show is dedicated to diving into the one thing that makes every small business unique, their story, and learning from the good and the hard parts. If you see business as a tool for good and you want to learn from others who believe the same, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Small Business Storyteller Show. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Small Business Storytellers. We're really excited to be here with you for another week and another episode. It's been encouraging over the last few weeks just to see more people listen to the podcast, and more than that, to like actually see businesses encourage and see people finding practical advice from some of our guests. And I'm excited about this today because we're sitting down with Hunter Wiley from Beyond Blue Media. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm excited because Hunter and I were in a similar industry, and I think that some people feel like you can't collaborate or can't talk with other people in your industry. Like you have to build the biggest building by tearing everybody else's down. And Hunter and I kind of are both on the same wavelength that I feel like we can all learn from each other and all build together. So give us some context, Hunter, for just like what your life looks like. How old are you? Tell us about Beyond Blue Media. And then we'll kind of go backwards more into your story of how you got here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I started Beyond Blue about 2.5 years ago. Full service digital marketing company, focusing on small to medium sized businesses. And a couple key pillars of what we do for those types of clients that we have are search engine optimization, website development, graphic design, social media management, Facebook and Google ads. So it's kind of the whole gamut of marketing. First started this with three business partners who were just silent investors and gave me a loan of $5,000 to start a digital marketing company. God has really blessed the business as we've grown. And when I first started the business, couldn't even legally drink a beer. I was 20 years old. So feels like it's been a long, crazy, nuts of a 2.5 years.
Right.
But it's been extremely enjoyable.
What got you to the place where you felt like jumping off the cliff to start a digital marketing agency was the right thing for you?
Yeah, I have this entrepreneurial bug inside of me where if it's not this, it's something else. Right. And I'm always growing. I'm always wanting to build something from scratch. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of life and enjoyment from building. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners have that same type of bug where they just can't stop. They don't want to stop building. They don't want to stop creating. So that's where it comes from.
Were you a part of other things before then? Like, I know for me, like my first like business, I didn't realize this till like 2 years ago, but it was like flipping pink puka shell necklaces from the dollar store for like $7 at school. I think we were in like seventh grade or something. But like, when did you start realizing you had the entrepreneurial bug, and how was that expressed or tried? How did you try to express it?
Yeah, that's such a great question. I mean, similar to you, man, as a young man in high school, even in middle school, was flipping candy at the school, like wanting to make any sort of dollar that I could anywhere by selling.
Right.
Sales is in my blood. When I first went to college, started a video and production company. and didn't do any of the work, just subcontracted it out. And yeah, it was a game changer. As a young entrepreneur in school, I had no money, but started just doing videos for small businesses around town, and contracted out other videographers here in town to do the work. And that was my first successful venture. 90% of my ventures don't work. I've started so many businesses, I can't even keep track of all of them, and most of them fail.
Right.
But there's a couple of nuggets here and there that work, which is why, man, I never want to stop creating, never want to stop building.
Yeah. So where, like, talk to us about the scale of where Beyond Blue is now, because you mentioned several things have not worked. Beyond Blue is at this moment in time working.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see, but where are you guys at right now, and what do you think has kind of helped contribute to Beyond Blue seeming to work and kind of catch some ground?
Yeah. What I've learned is, failing is good. And I didn't realize that, and you don't realize that in the time, but, in the last 2.5 years, we failed so much. Failed with clients, failed internally, failed externally in all different capacities. But we were able to grow and not stop after those failures. Right.
Yeah.
Where we're at now, we have systems in place, but there's still holes that we're always filling. When I first started the company, I remember, 3 months into the business, not having enough money to pay my first employee, I had to pull from my own savings to make sure that he had bills paid. Mm-hmm. And now we're at a spot where everyone's bills are covered, but there's new things that we're having to overcome. Mm-hmm. Now with 16 employees, it's a bigger game. It's a bigger game, and the risks are bigger, and the failures are bigger, which makes it that much more fun.
What's unique about Beyond Blue? Like, in the kind of amongst your competitors, what do you feel like stands out? Because there is a lot of digital marketing agencies out there. So why do you feel like is there a thread that people are choosing you because of?
Yeah. I've worked at several different digital marketing agencies. And what I've found time and time again is that there's not intentional marketing. And what I mean by that is, if I'm a business owner with another agency, I'm constantly getting tossed from account manager to account manager. Feels like it's not personal. With Beyond Blue, we really want to focus on not having it be a client-based business, but a very relational business, where we know our clients' kids, and we know when their baseball games are, and they become part of our family. And so we do not have the intent on growing this to 500 employees. That is not part of the dream or the vision. We love being able to be intentional with knowing and loving on our clients, which is why they don't leave us, and which is why that's what makes us much different from other agencies.
So I know some of the places that you have worked, not going to mention any names, but you mentioned, like, the goal is not to grow to 500 employees. Yeah. And one of the other companies you worked for, the goal was to grow as fast as you possibly could.
Yeah.
And we've both known a ton of people that have worked there and stuff. Being in that world of, like, fast paced, one of the fastest growing agencies in the country, and then switching to more of a small, more intimate setting, like, contrast those for our audience, and, like, what caused you to want to go the direction you were. I know there's pros and cons on both sides, but just, like, contrast those two different experiences in the agency world for our audience.
Yeah. Like you said, there's so many pros and cons of both. They have, big agencies have their systems down to a T, which is what makes them so effective and makes them so much money. For me, I got into this business it's not about the money. It's about the relationships. I'm very relational. And what I was finding is, if you're not spending, if you're not the top 10% of spenders in an agency, especially a big agency, you normally fall to the bottom of the list of importance or priorities for that company.
Right.
And so I wanted it to be every single client of ours felt like they were our 1%, that we loved on them no matter what package they went with, no matter how much they're spending a month. We wanted to be intentional on who we were bringing in, no matter what their budget was.
What were some ways, like when you started, you mentioned you had one employee, had to pull from your savings to make that work. Talk to us about some of your first few hires. Cause I know there's, I've talked to people that are listening. And even us in the last year, like going through some of those first hires. Again, I hired people a couple years ago and then we scaled back and now we're doing it again. But, I think that those early days of knowing, you know, what positions do we hire first and when do we switch from contractor to employee and some of those things of like building a team from zero to 16 in a couple years. That's significant. So give us some insight into what those first, what maybe that first year looked like as far as you building a team.
Yeah, I'm glad.
This is selfish because I just want to know.
I'm glad that you asked this question. My business partners balance me out well. They are much more on the risk adverse business strategy. They're so for taking the leap. I'm much more detail oriented in the fact that I look at our bank account 17 times a day because I want to know everything about everything in my business. And my business partners are like, man, we need to take the leap. And so they do a great job of pushing me out of my comfort zone. I'd recommend, you know, if you are someone that doesn't have someone that's pushing you off the ledge, you have to find someone that will. Because constantly I'm at a place where I don't think we can take this move. And my business partners say, we have to take the jump. We have to take the leap because that's going to get us to the next spot. With some of the first hires, man, it's scary because sometimes there's not the revenue to prove that this is going to be a good move.
Right.
But every time we've brought on good talent, it's always worked out. When you bring in high caliber, high frequency people into your establishment, it is always a slam dunk. People are what make a company always. And so the better the people, the better the business, in my opinion.
Have you had to fire some people?
We have had to fire some people. And it was because of the lack of caliber of person. I expect a lot. And I'm sure most business owners expect a lot out of their employees.
Right.
The way that we put it at our business, if you're not making everything we're giving you at least two times better, in terms of a project, in terms of our hourly pay, in terms of whatever it might be, if you're not making it at least two times better, you shouldn't be a part of our team.
That's a good way of looking at it. And good and practical, because I feel like it's just really easy to count all of the costs and the value and try and make sure that those are aligned and even make sure, like, you know, that you're not giving too much value. And whatnot. Someone told me a couple years ago that your frustrations shape your dreams. That's been a big piece of my story and why I started what I started. But tell me about, like, what are there any, like, frustrations with whether it's the marketing industry or just like economy? Like, what are some of those, like, pain points for you or frustrations that you see that caused you to want to build a digital marketing agency?
That's such a great question. I constantly see, especially older people, that complain and hate their jobs. And when I see that, when I see people, who are just doing the grind on a day-to-day basis, it drives me insane because there's so many options that we have to create and to build.
Right.
And I never want to be a person that is excited for Friday night. I don't want to be excited for the weekend. I want to be excited for Monday morning. I want to be excited for the entire week. And so because of that, because of my frustrations of seeing everyone else in the workforce who is, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt from student loans to get a job that they don't really like.
Right.
To just looking forward to the weekend. That kills me. That frustrates me. I want to be a person that loves waking up on a Monday morning.
That's awesome. So really, like, for you, the business has almost been the agency model, like the digital agency has almost been a means to, like, give people a job that they love. Like, for you, has it been about your employees? I mean, you say about the people in general, but has a big focus for you been, like, building a team of people that love their job?
Yeah, absolutely. Such a people person that I couldn't stand being a solopreneur. that can be lonely. I think being a business owner already is lonely. So if you're doing it by yourself, that adds some extra pressure. Mm. When you're doing it with a team that believes in your vision, it makes waking up on a Monday morning that much better, because you know you have a team behind you. Now there's more pressure that comes with that. There's more stress that comes with paying a team, because you're at the end of the day paying the bills. But yeah, I mean, you're right. For me and our agency, our employees are number one priority above our clients, always. And that might be controversial, and that's okay. I want my employees to always feel like they're number one above clients.
Right.
If my employees feel like they're number one, they'll treat our clients like they're number one.
Totally. Okay, so you're 23?
22.
Okay. Tell me where that's been a strength and where that's been a weakness.
Yeah. I love walking into board meetings and marketing campaign meetings with business owners that are three times my age, and being able to prove myself and stand my ground in a meeting. Mm-hmm. It gives me that leverage that I love being the underdog. I've always loved being the underdog. Coming from playing college basketball, from being a small white boy on a team of, you know, huge men that can dunk all over me, I've always loved being the underdog.
Right.
And that's translated into business. And yeah, there's definitely been some hard parts about it, some cons. I mean, with my employees, most of my employees are double my age, which is great until I have to go and critique them as a 22-year-old to a 40-year-old with, you know, several children. That can definitely be difficult. But when you prove yourself credible to your team, it doesn't matter if you're 22 or 82. If they trust you, then they trust you.
Hmm.
And you're able to critique, you're able to lead well no matter the age.
Right. Okay, so on last week's episode, which at the time of this recording will air in like 2 days, but when people are listening to this, it will have been the last episode, we had Logan Hale from V3 Media, really well-respected video marketing company. They make amazing videos and won tons of awards for Colorado agencies. Mm. He's been in the industry for 20 or 30 years, and his kind of closing piece of advice was that for a lot of people, like he kind of said, if you're wanting to start something, like go find a company that's doing it and just work for them for a few years and learn the ropes, learn the way. I love part of what I've loved about this podcast is everybody gives different advice.
Yeah.
Everybody sees things differently, and we can learn from different pieces of it.
Mm.
I'm not asking you to like disagree with that, but as like a young person who right out of school was like, you know what, I'm going to start this. I'm going to start my own thing rather than, and you did learn some of the ropes, but how would you balance that of going in your 20s and just learning and learning from other people and learning from other companies versus I have a passion. I'm going to start my own business and build my own business.
Yeah. Such a good question. And I think it depends on the way that you learn. I think if you're a learner that is, apt to learn from doing, then you know that you're a person that needs to go and just start and do and fail. Fail a million times until you succeed. But there's also the people that are meticulous in the way that they need to learn. They need to learn by seeing. And if that's the case, then yeah, absolutely. Go and work for your competitor or your, you know, the future dream business, whatever it might be. But I mean, for guys like me, I can't wait. Like I'm ready to go now, and I'm going to fail a million times until I make it.
Yeah.
And so it really depends on the learning ability or the way that you learn. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good answer. It really does come back to self-awareness
and
like not knowing who you are versus knowing how you learn and what's going to be the best place for you. Last time we were together at your office, I know we mentioned, we talked some just about like some of the thought leaders and content moguls kind of in our industry. One being Gary Vaynerchuk. Yeah. I would love just to like hear, partially just cause everybody has a different opinion. What do you think of kind of the like Gary Vaynerchuk voice in the marketing industry right now that's initially encouraging everybody to like build a personal brand, get as much content as you can out there versus more of the traditional like digital agency model that's, you know, you spend thousands of dollars building a website and focus on SEO. And, and I know he doesn't say those things aren't important,
right?
But it's, he's kind of like shifting a lot of ways of thinking. So, I guess, what are your thoughts as an agency owner on this new wave of thinking that's kind of putting more focus on like the content that you're producing than the website and SEO that you have been focusing on for years and years?
Yeah. Oh, such a good question. I've been watching Gary V for, I mean, for 3 or 4 years every day religiously. I mean, I've seen every video, I've seen every podcast, I've seen every documentary, everything I can possibly soak up about that man, I've soaked up. And there's a lot of things that I agree with, and there's a lot of things that I don't agree with. You know, and some of his philosophies. I think as he pushes the personal brand, I've seen in my own business, because I've tried it and I failed, meaning, you know, he put out a couple of books on the importance of your personal brand. And, you know, he mentioned that the personal brand is going to be the biggest money maker in 10 years versus any agency or business. Your personal brand is going to make you the most money. And he gave some practical ways on how you actually build a personal brand. And video content was the number one. And so what I did is I went and hired a videographer, and I had him follow me for 2 months. Everywhere I went, to lunch meetings, to you know, to business meetings, to biz dev meetings, my videographer followed me everywhere. And what I found was, number one, it's super awkward walking around downtown.
Especially in like small town Colorado.
Small town Colorado, Fort Collins, walking around downtown with the videographer following you with the video camera. And what I found was that we just couldn't make it work. It wasn't me. What I found was that I don't want to be the face of the business. I don't want to work 80 hours a week like Gary does. Now I do that a lot of weeks, but I don't want to work 80 hours a week for the rest of my life, right? And Gary, the one thing that I disagree with him on is you know, the grind. You can work 20 hours a day and sleep 4, and you'll be fine. I appreciate that and I love that. But on the other hand, I'm all for sustainable rhythms and work-life balance and spending time with family and friends. And that is not something that he preaches. I mean, he's gotten more and more apt to it because he's gotten a lot of pushback from it.
Yeah, he's gotten pushback. It's stupid, but there's a lot of articles that came out like 2 months ago that were referring to it as like hustle porn.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think he had some good responses to it because he initially brought it back to like, it's about, again, self-awareness. It's about knowing what you want, what makes you happy. Like if work is what makes you happy, then embrace it.
Embrace it.
Yeah. And if like your friends and family are what make you happy, like incorporate them and stuff, which I think works, but still like, I think he still models the grind. It's hard for him to say like, yeah, if this isn't for you, then don't do it, when that's all that you see from him and stuff. But that's fascinating to me because I don't follow him religiously, but I follow quite a bit of his content. And he's telling everybody like, hire a videographer, document, don't create, like just continue to document the content, document your life, document your journey. So you did it.
I did it.
And it didn't work for you.
Didn't work for me. What I found was that I wasn't as interesting as I thought I was.
Okay. Tell me more about why you feel like the Gary V document model didn't work for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm an introvert at heart and I want to be a hermit I love working from home in my pajamas. And what I found was I was having to put on my Gary V face for the camera constantly. And that's just not me. I love working with my team and I love my clients. And, I don't want to be in front of a camera all day long. It was very draining for me. I think there's a lot of personalities, business owners that could really benefit from it.
What'd you guys do with all that content? Where'd you put
nothing.
It?
Okay. We did nothing with it.
So you didn't publish it.
We didn't publish it. It just was not good. It just wasn't good content. And I know that he preaches, even if it's not good content, publish it. Go ahead and run with it. But it just wasn't good.
That's funny. So what do you mentioned something he talks about a lot, which is like the development of the personal brand.
Yeah.
And this is totally relevant because I feel like I've met many kind of traditional like digital agency owners over the last few years where, you know, they're selling websites for some 8,000, some 40,000, like, and there is a lot of things that are shifting towards like more content production, putting out more content. And so with what you mentioned about like the personal brand, or like the more, we'll say the more personal brand, like getting your face out there in content, whether it's you or your employees or your customers, like getting stories out there, what do you think is shifting that makes some of what Gary Vee says about your personal brand being really valuable 10 years from now? Like, what do you, how do you see that working? How do you see that happening in the next 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, he's exactly right. Just because he's right, though, doesn't mean you have to do it. And a lot of what he preaches is spot on, especially, the video content, the publishing on Instagram, you know, 3 to 4 times a day, posting on Twitter, sometimes 26 times a day. You know, he does it well. He doesn't just preach it, he does it. I mean, another thing that he preaches is, you know, replying to every single comment, and he personally does that every day, thousands of comments. And so, I mean, obviously it's working for him as an agency owner, it's working. And so there's certain pieces that you can pick and choose from his style. And I think, you know, no matter what business you're in, I think that there are things you can pick and choose from what he says. I just know, you know, you're going to have to really figure out your priorities. If your priority is building a brand around your face, and that will then sustain your business, that's great. I just know, I mean, I think about a real estate agent. They're constantly building their brands, but they can never get outside of their business. Right? I mean, as a real estate agent, it's you. You can't then give your business to someone else. It's you until you're done. And I just know for me and my priorities, I want to be a person where, I mean, clients don't even know who I am, right? And I can go on vacation and the business doesn't shut down because I'm not posting and I'm not, you know, putting out content.
Right.
That gives me anxiety, like having to constantly produce. I don't want to have to constantly produce. But I know for other owners of businesses, I can see how that would work. You just have to know. You have to know your priorities. And like you said, self-awareness is the name of the game.
So how do you see your industry and the work that you're doing for clients? How do you see it evolving over the next few years?
Yeah. What we're finding, and Gary preaches this big time, is video on Facebook is the place to be. And I know you speak to this a lot, you know, about stories and what makes you different from other businesses is your story, right? So I think you do a great job of speaking truth in that way. I mean, another thing, this is a little bit outside of the box that Gary doesn't talk about, but we see as an agency really becoming big in the next 5 to 10 years is, Google listing, Google My Business pages are going to be way bigger than websites in the future, especially for local businesses. And what I mean by that is, you know, you search on anything on Google on a search engine, and the first thing that comes up is the map section. And if you're in that 3-pack, the first 3, you're doing well. You're doing well, especially if you're ranking for the keywords you want to rank for. And so what I'd encourage any business owner is to put their focus into that Google My Business page so that they're locally organically ranking.
So give us some like practicals of like small things that local businesses can do to just like actually get more people to visit their websites and convert, like whether it's a list or things you guys run through with your clients. Like, what are things that our listeners can do if SEO is a problem, if they might not even know Google My Business is, like, if they're just trying to figure out how can we get more of the right people to our website, what can small businesses do?
I mean, I spoke to this a little bit before, but the video, I mean, creating content on video on Facebook specifically is a great way to start to build your brand. Now, you're not going to see immediate business from this. This is how you build your brand long term. It can simply just be a selfie video. If you're a roofer and you are at a job site, pulling out your phone and doing a selfie video of you and your crew, and publishing that. I mean, it takes 5 minutes for you to publish. And I encourage all my clients to do that, constantly putting out content, even if there's not a ton of value, it gives us an insight into your life. And so, I mean, we do that at Beyond Blue, although it's not a full, you know, vlog of me, we do that with all of our staff. I mean, constantly putting out videos, giving little tips and tricks. And so if I am a roofer, if I do run a roofing business, then I'm going to give tips and tricks on how to maintain my new roof, or how to check and see if my roof is ready to get a new roof.
Right.
And so that's a big piece. I also think with the Google My Business piece, reviews are big right now. The algorithms are heavy on reviews. And so the more reviews that you can get for your business on the Google My Business page, the better. Yeah, listing heavy on reviews is big. So yeah, I'd encourage both of those things. Those are small little tricks that would take no longer than 5 minutes.
Yeah. What about, how do people, is it pretty easy to edit your Google My Business page?
It is. Okay. Yeah, extremely easy. Cool. Yeah.
I feel like that's something like some people know about, some people don't know about it.
Yeah, it's really easy. And I mean, in the last couple of weeks, they made it possible so that business owners can go in and post, similar to Facebook and an Instagram. You go in and make a post.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it can link back to your website, and Google reads that, right? I mean, Google reads every time you post that, and then they help you rank.
Right.
And so that's what we do for all of our clients, is constantly posting either articles or posts. A lot of times we just go ahead and copy and paste our social media posts over to the Google My Business page. Hmm. Yeah, Google loves content on the back end.
That's cool.
And this is a brand new thing that just happened this month.
That's awesome. That's huge. I'm going to ask you about another kind of like, I guess like trendy thing in the marketing space. So ClickFunnels is huge as just like a SaaS company in the marketing space.
Sure.
One of their taglines is like pretty much the death of a website. Like websites are dying, and they're kind of obviously promoting like sales funnels and building landing pages and stuff.
Sure.
What do you think when you guys sell? I mean, I know you sell more than websites, but as somebody who is selling websites, is building websites, is seeing them work, what do you think when other people in the marketing industry are saying like websites are dead, they're not working anymore?
Yeah. First of all, websites are not dead. Websites are not dead, and they won't be dead for a while. In terms of ClickFunnels, I think people have caught on to the ClickFunnels way. For me, I've never gone onto a ClickFunnels website and been super impressed. I can see how it's, I mean, most websites can be convertible to a ClickFunnels. It just looks spammy to me. And so we don't recommend that to our clients. I mean, when we first started the agency, we definitely dabbled in it because we wanted to see if it was successful.
Right.
And what we found is, you always hear about all these people that have huge successes with ClickFunnels, but 99% of people don't succeed. I mean, it's similar to any fad or pyramid scheme or drop shipping or anything like that. That is a fad that a couple people are making a ton of money, but it doesn't mean that it's working. And on the other side, talking about digital marketing tips, Google loves WordPress. If you want to really rank your business, they deem WordPress more valuable than other platforms. And so if you're using ClickFunnels, it can be a great way to bring in leads, but we just haven't seen it work.
Right.
Yeah.
What about like from more of a just kind of theory perspective? Like people usually think, you go to a website, there's lots of pages, there's lots of information.
Yeah.
And I do think that typically most websites they do a good job of informing, but they don't do a good job of like converting.
Oh, they're not it.
Like they might be informative, but are they effective?
You nailed
And it. I think that's something that like some of these people with ClickFunnels or Kajabi or whatever they are, that when they're talking about like simplifying things to bringing people in through content or ads and
Absolutely.
Giving them an offer that's simple and delivering it to them in a simple way. Like how do you wrestle with that of kind of websites not being, over-informative and bulky versus kind of this theory of, yeah, simple landing pages, simple web pages like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you nailed it on the head, man. Those type of sites, the informational sites are going out. They're going to the grave, mm-hmm. right? Websites are not going to the grave. Informational text heavy sites. Yeah. Those just don't work. Those just don't work nowadays. People don't have the time to read. The idea of ClickFunnels is money. It's perfect. I love the idea of it.
Right.
And we use that same idea in WordPress websites, normal websites, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to pay, you know, $300 a month to use ClickFunnels when you can just incorporate that idea and that theory into your website. Mm-hmm. I mean, really all a ClickFunnel is, hey, here's an offer. Simply, this is exactly what it is. There's normally a time limit. You have 2 days to do it. And if you purchase, then we're going to give you X, Y, and Z for free. Mm-hmm. And you can do that on your website now. It's a great way to upsell. Yeah. It's a great way to drive traffic where they're not getting bogged down by the text, right? And so the theory of it, the strategy is right on par with where we want to be mm-hmm. and where the market's at.
What about like just kind of, and as we come to a close, what would you say are your handful of things that every website absolutely needs?
Yeah, beautiful. I mean, number one, it needs to have a call to action right away. When I go to a website and I don't see, you know, a free estimate or a call now or a fill out this form, I'm not going to go digging for it. I'm going to go to another site, right? And so that needs to be there within 1 second of me looking at a site. I mean, pictures are huge nowadays. You know, we want to see high quality images. And people aren't going to look at a site that has, you know, glitchy images. So right. that's number two. And then the way that the workflow of the site is the third thing. You know, similar to a ClickFunnel, we want it to have a flow. We want to direct you. We want to gently guide you to where we want to take you within the site. Mm-hmm. And so whether that's to a sale of a product or whether that's to an estimate, or to fill out a form, we want to gently guide you there. And so if that flow isn't there in a website, then you're going to miss people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I think that those are super helpful pieces of advice. One of the last questions I want to ask you is just like, why are you doing all this? Like, why business? Why marketing? Like, what's really like the driving force and kind of driving like reason behind your what, if you will?
Yeah. I'm obsessed with growth and contribution. Those two things I think about daily. Within my business. And the reason that I love waking up on Monday morning, the reason I love running a business is because I'm constantly growing as an individual, constantly growing as a business, and constantly growing our clients' businesses, right? Mm-hmm. And so I love the growth aspect. And then I also love the contribution. I want to contribute to my employees' lives. I want to contribute to my clients' lives. I want to contribute to our community. And so those two things are the driving factors of why I wake up every day and why I'm pumped up to every meeting that I go to, because I know that I'm growing. I know that I'm contributing. And so, hopefully that answers the question, man. Totally. But that's my why.
Do you have any like kind of like just crazy or not crazy in your mind, but some like just big goals for the long term of things that you want to see happen in your career?
Man, listen, I got a vision board back at home with all sorts of big dreams. I constantly am wanting to ask God for my big dreams and ask him. I think in my questions, I want him to slide to the edge of his seat and be like, did he just say that? Did Hunter just really ask me that? On the daily, I want to freak God out with the things that I'm asking him. And so, yeah, I mean, spiritually, physically, mentally, as a business, I want to have goals that scare the absolute hell out of me. I want those dreams and those goals. And so, I think, I don't know if there's one that's really crazy. I think they should all be crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome. What does this next year look like for Beyond Blue and you guys continuing to grow?
Yeah, continuing to work on delegation to the staff, trying to do a better job of making sure the team feels empowered. my position specifically has moved from doing production to managing the team. And so with that transition, I want to make sure that they feel loved and that they feel the same way that I feel about waking up early on a Monday morning to come to work.
Totally.
That's my main focus. And then I want to make my clients feel like they're getting a steal by working with us. Mm. Focusing on the important things. I'm trying to declutter my life.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, stop going to meetings that aren't adding any value to their life or to my life,
mm-hmm.
and only focus on, you know, the three or four things that I really care about.
Hmm.
Other than that, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, that's great. Last question. What would be your advice to aspiring entrepreneurs, people that are small business owners or they're starting something or building something? What would your piece of advice be to small business owners that are listening to this?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, number one, it's not too late. You know, it doesn't matter if you're 22 or if you're 72, if you feel called to start something or to grow something, then do it. And although we all have, you know, big responsibilities that are very real, very aware of, I don't want to be 100 years old and regret anything. I'd only regret it if I didn't do something. If I failed, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely okay with failing, always.
Right.
But if I'm not doing something out of fear, I will regret that.
Hmm.
And I know a lot of your listeners will regret not doing the thing that they feel called to do, the next step, right? So I would encourage everyone listening. Yeah, if there's a next step that you feel like you need to do in your business, whether that's starting a business or whether that's hiring that person that's going to take over, or whether that's, you know, paying a big salary to someone that feels scary. You're going to regret it if you don't, if you don't take that next step in your business. So yeah, that's the biggest piece that I give.
That's great.
Yeah, man.
This has been awesome. And I feel like this episode will bring a ton of value to people that the internet world and SEO world and website world is just kind of like, there's a lot of questions around that world.
Mm.
So if you're a listener and you guys have more questions, get in touch with Hunter and Beyond Blue. What's the best way for them to get in touch with you guys and what you're doing?
Yeah, go through our website, beyondbluemedia.com. That's a great way to get in contact with us. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Yeah, you should post some of those vlogs sometime.
Post some bloopers. I definitely can.
Wow. Thanks for joining us today on the Small Business Storytellers, and really appreciate you coming into the studio today.
Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely.